You have your Bible, turn to 1 Chronicles. I want to look at chapter 4 in particular, but just turn up chapters 1, 2, and 3, and then look at chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles. If you haven't got your Bible there, it's just a long list of names. So shall I start to read every one of them? It's a huge list of names. Can I tell you why? Catastrophic events had taken place in Israel. The north had been conquered by the Assyrians. That's the 10 tribes, and then the 2 tribes, Judah in the south, had then been conquered by the Babylonians, who'd conquered the Assyrians, and now they had taken the people of God into captivity, into Babylon, something like 70 years. It's almost over. Well, it is over, because the Persians have now conquered the Babylonians, who conquered the Assyrians. And it's a world empire. And God's got in place on the throne a man who will be kind to the people of God. And so a remnant of them are allowed to return back to Jerusalem. And it's pretty disastrous. Now, God has 2 men who are key to this situation. Ezra, who is a scholar, as well as a preacher and a prophet. So you get the book of Ezra. And the other guy is Nehemiah, who actually was a government official. So Ezra writes Chronicles. Now, why does he start with this huge list of names? God had made a promise that the Davidic line would continue, that out of that would come the Messiah. But if you are over here, 500 miles away in captivity, you think that all the promises that God has made have come to nothing. You know, where's the throne of David now? All the kings that had disqualified themselves because of their behavior and rebellion against God. And so Ezra has to write to these returning exiles and give them an understanding, you know, that the royal line is still there. And the proof is this long list of names. That God does keep his promise, that God knows the names. That's something the Bible takes up. For instance, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You read John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. And the sheep know my voice. But better than that, I know their name. Names are important. We come to passages like this in our Bible and we skip them, because they're just a long list of names. Let me tell you something else. The high priest would have a breastplate with onyx gemstones on it, and inscribed on them were the names of the tribes, the names. And every time he went into the Holy of Holies, into the holy place and into the Holy of Holies, to represent the people before, he bore on his breastplate the names. They were important. And said, God, these are the people we're asking for. One of the wonderful things about Jesus, he's been declared as our great high priest. And he ever intercedes for us. He's before the throne of God this morning, and he's got your name on his heart, the place of affection and understanding. Your name is important. And in this long list of names, if you're into chapter 4 now, it's got the clans of Judah. And go all the way down to verse 9. And really, in this long list, about a man called
Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. And Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory, and let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request, and Caleb, Shuha's brother, was the father of Mechir, was the father of Eshton, and so the names go on. Jabez, a man with a problem, with this odd name, sorrow or painful or trouble. That's the three ways you could translate it. I could bring you a psychological review of 15,000 delinquents who had odd or embarrassing names. And you know what the review says? That they were more likely, four times more likely than any other individual, to get into trouble with the law. And one day, Jabez, the man with this odd name, decided, I got to do something about it. And he goes to God. He has a problem. Takes it to the Lord. Did he know? I think he would know something of the scriptures. Back in Genesis 35, Rachel dies, and as she's dying in childbirth, she says, call this boy Benoni, son of my sorrow. And Jacob says, no. The right name was given to the father, and he calls him Benjamin, son of my right hand. Did Jabez read that? Jabez would know that Jacob would be broken. Do I have a problem with this? Thank you. Jacob was broken. He lost his wife, but he still calls the boy Benjamin, son of my right hand. Does he read that? Does he recollect? Because he would have been taught it. All the story of Jacob. How God says, I'll change your name. From Jacob to Israel. Prince of God. And one day Jabez says, I'm going to go to God. And that's the record you got here. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Now that's my introduction. That is not the preaching. That's just to tell you why, where it fits. This is the slot that this is. This is this wonderful list of names. And in the middle of it, a character who's identified because he took his problem to God. We have some announcements about the week. Here they are. So I can get to the rest. Okay. At least you're smiling with me. Here we are in this amazing record in 1 Chronicles 4. This list of these ancient Jews. And in the middle of it, this man stands out. The rest, I don't think are obscure, this man has decided to trust God to do something new in his life. Now, when you read a list like this, it's like going through your telephone directory. And so you can miss things. But the scripture draws attention to Jabez because he prays a particular prayer. Now, did he pray it before? Who knows? Had he prayed it repeatedly? Who can tell? But one day, when he was broken, when he was at the end of things, when he wanted to start afresh, one day he prayed with a yearning and a longing and a reaching out to God. And God touched his life in the most amazing way. Now let's begin by telling you about the man. Because a relationship is mentioned. It's something of a tragedy. Because the most significant fact that's mentioned about him is his name, Jabez, sorrowful. It's a pun on a Hebrew word for pain, for painful. It's a play with words. Can you imagine going through your life with a name like, hey, painful? Called to go out and play with the other boys. Come on, painful, sorrowful. Imagine the first day at school and the teacher goes down the register and then calls his name, painful, and everybody starts laughing and sniggering. And in some kind of way, his mother is getting her own back. Now why and for what? We're not told. Was it a hard time of birth? So this is in a fit of pique, she names him. Was it because the circumstances were more bitter than she wanted to remember? So she preferred she would die in childbirth. See, a Jewish girl wanted to bear a son. That was her one goal, her ambition in life, to have a son, to have a child, but to have a son. Because would that son be the Messiah who was yet to come? And here she is. Was this a relationship that had gone wrong? There's something before marriage. And all her hopes are dashed. It's a tragedy. And whatever it was, it left Jabez with a name and a reputation. And did he then go through day after day defending himself? So when you shouted at him, he reacted. You know, when you look at it, our backgrounds, the way our homes have been, the way folk have spoken to us, the way people have had expectations of us when we were young, and we remember them today. And sometimes what you remember, it's painful. It hurts. Because what we experience then has this extraordinary way of limiting and restricting and cramping and having an effect of the way we understand ourselves. The way we have a vision of God. The sense of, God, how do you work? Why are you allowing all these earthquakes? Why are you allowing all these storms? Why are you allowing these hurricanes and these tornadoes? And so you have things happening to you that cramp you. And it's a tragedy. And so here's a man who, with a label, and says he's in pain. It's painful. You know what I'm on about. We're living in a world where people go around with labels like that. Some, it's a partner relationship. So many relationships are broken in our homes. For some, it's church relationships that have gone astray. For something has happened in a family, so it's painful. Or in a business, in a job, in a financial matter. It doesn't matter. What it is, it's just that something happens in our life and it's painful. It's a Jabez. And you have difficulty holding yourself together. You sometimes come to moments where you can hardly take anything in because you say, I'm in pain. You say, I can't bear it anymore. You think of all the times you prayed and time again. And you come to one moment, and you say, God, I'm going to ask you now. I'm going to ask you to bless me this morning. I'm going to ask you to touch me. I'm going to ask you to look at me. I'm going to ask you to change me. I'm going to ask you to make my life count. I'm going to ask you to rescue me from the sameness and the greenness and the mediocrity and the pain. And that was Jabez's moment, and he prayed it. And you know what? When you pray a prayer like that, God will answer it. And so the tragedy turns to triumph, because the testimony now of Jabez, he was more honorable than his brothers. And suddenly we're talking about his character, and we're telling a totally different story. And we're speaking volumes about his personal devotion and about his spirituality. It stands out from his contemporaries. He's living at a time of spiritual defeat, when life spiritually is at an ebb, at its lowest point. And he is a man who is different. Someone who can put the rest to shame because he's upright, because of his personal devotion, because of his integrity and his faith. And it says, more honorable than any other because he called out to the God of Israel. Not to an unknown God, but to the one with whom there was a covenant relationship. Now, I think he's been blessed already. But the intriguing thought is he wants more. He's asking for more. Is he empty? Has he run dry? Has he been capsized by events in his life? I'm not told, and it doesn't matter, except to comment. When I'm looking at this, am I looking at a mirror image of my life? Am I looking at a mirror image of your life? Because in all of life, two things can run in parallel: tragedy and triumph. And they will sit always side by side. Pain and a personal grasp and understanding of who God is. Don't ask me to tell you what it's like. I'd keep you till tonight. Because I live with the parallel, with the pain and the grasp and understanding that God's got something more, something better, triumph and tragedy. So you're talking about the relationship, but now the request is the next thing. The prayer he prays actually helps you understand Jabez, because it reflects the character, reflects the objectives, the aspirations of this man. Let me tell you how he prayed. You listen. You'll hear him pray. The first bit is this. It's so personal. Bless me. Bless me. This powerful plea for himself. Now, are you going to tell me that that's selfish, that's introspective, that's insular, that's what's it in for me kind of society that we're living in? Selfish thinking that only has its own interests and pleasures? No, I don't think it's that. I think it's a man who's hungry for God. You know, Peter, in Matthew 19:27, he's been asking, God, what can I get out of this? And he suddenly says, Lord, what can we have? And how do I know he changes? Because I go from the Matthew account to the book of Acts. And he stands and he looks at a beggar on the steps of the temple there. And he says, such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What can I get? No, what can I give? Bless me. Bless me. See, I can't bless anyone unless God blesses me, nor can you. So there are times when we have to come aside. There are times when you have to have Sunday mornings and midweek activities. There have to be moments when you come and say, oh God, this is the impetus. It's not what's in it for me, generation idea. What can you do to bless me so I can bless people in your name? You see? That's the personal bit of it. Here's the particular bit of it. Enlarge my border. Literally, maybe he needed more land. Well, some of his land still occupied by the Canaanites. I'll mention this again later. And he needed God's help to expel them. But he's got a responsibility that God has put in his hands to get there and do something about it. In the spiritual parallel, we say, Lord, increase our vision. Increase our faith. Lord, work in my life. Put something in my pathway so that I can demonstrate your power, your grace, your victory. We get parochial. Part of what I was looking at last weekend was something that gone beyond all the churches in Central Florida to say, what can we do with this particular project? How can we make it work? Then volunteers are going to come. And then there's got to be the setting up the strategies. And there's got to be the preaching. It's every week people are being converted. Turn to the New Testament. Just turn to the New Testament. And turn to the Acts of the Apostles. And see how the whole of the Mediterranean is affected by the power of God's word. Enlarge our territory, our border. Give us something beyond what we've got, you see, so we can impact for you. And here's the powerful bit in it, that your hand might be with me. Now, if you think of that as a strange expression, remember Ezra's written this, and it's Ezra that has this phrase again and again and again, particularly in chapter 7, when he wants to have various things from the king of Babylon, and they're granted. Why are they granted? Ezra 7:9, because the hand of the Lord was on him. They got to make this safe journey with gold and instrument, everything under the sun. And how will they get there safely? The king offers a protection. He says, we don't need it because God's going to help us. And the hand of our God, the gracious hand of God was upon us. And he gathers men to help support him. How? Verse 28, because the hand of the Lord my God was with me. I want to ask you something this morning. Very simple. Very simple. Would you ask God to put his hand on you this morning, afresh? That's all I'm asking you. If every one of you would ask God this morning, Lord, put your hand on me afresh this morning. Who knows what's going to go? All I know, the hand of Jesus took some loaves and some fish and broke them and broke them and broke them. And they fed 5,000 men, never mind counting the women and the children. You heard me pray a little bit earlier, came to my mind about the boat in the storm on the lake, a catastrophe. They think they're going to die. Experienced fishermen crying out. And he put out his hand and said, peace be still. And the storm is calmed. And I watch him going into the home of Jairus. And the mourners, the professional mourners, are wailing and crying at the doorway. And there's this lifeless body of this little girl. And he reaches out his hand and touches her hand. He says, little girl, go and have breakfast with mom and dad. The hand of the Lord. And Jabez wants to be sure of God's blessing and guiding. He doesn't want to step out of line. He wants the hand of God. It's spectacular. Whatever reason there is for living is to have the hand of God on your life. Powerful. And if you would ask God, right where you sit, if you, each of you, would ask God, God, put your hand on me this morning. Something will happen in Rochford this week, the like of which we haven't seen for many a day. And it's purposeful. The King James says, so you keep me from evil, from harm, so that I'll be able to serve you as I should. He's asking for a turning point in his own life and experience. He wants to escape from the limiting effects of this name, Jabez, this background. I want to be a testimony. I want to be a picture to the grace of God. My name is Jabez. I can't change it. I'm stuck with it. But will you bless me so actually the testimony of my life goes way, way beyond all these words and testimonies of my name? Keep me from harm. Keep me from danger. He's acutely aware of what he's up against. Bitter experiences. A ruthless, skillful enemy ready to attack and needs to be kept by the power of God, because Satan is out to accuse and to condemn and to destroy. And you know what? You talk of the relationship. You talk of the request. You need to talk about the response. God granted him his request. God granted him an experience of his power. When you have a physical need, a tangible need, a temporal need, an emotional need, a spiritual need, your Heavenly Father knows what you need. And all of heaven's resources can be made available to you. And God grants him not only an experience of his power, but an encounter with himself, with his presence, so that all his tomorrows, all his perils, all his problems, all his foreboding, all his imminent setbacks, the things he might be facing, God will put his hand on him. Let me finish with four things. Jabez is asking God to make him a blessed man. Will you ask God to make you a blessed man and a blessed woman this morning? Blessed is actually in the plural here. It isn't just blessed, one blessing. It's blessednesses. That's the better way would be to translate it. Because God is a prodigious giver. He's never stingy. He gives abundantly. Remember when they crossed the Red Sea? You know what that song of testimony was? The Lord has triumphed gloriously. He sets us free, and we're free indeed. Ask God to make you a blessed man or woman this morning. Number two, he's asking God to make him a bigger man. Enlarge my border. Do you know the only way he could enlarge his border? It's not by growing rich. It's not by buying up every piece of the land around him. Because when the year of Jubilee came around, it would all have to be given back. The only way he could increase his territory is to win a battle over the Canaanites or whatever, the land that was still unpossessed. In other words, his prayer is for him to become victorious. And when you ask God to make you a bigger man and a bigger woman, you're asking him to make you a victorious believer. Number three, a better man, better woman. A bigger man, bigger woman. Victorious, gaining in Jesus' name. Here's number three, bolder man, a woman. That your hand might be upon me. Can I put it in a very simplistic way? He wants to hold hands with God. I miss Joyce more than anything. I don't have the chance to hold a hand. And to hold somebody's hand, you have to get close. And Jabez says, God, would you hold my hand? I want to hold your hand. So you have to get close. Number one, a blessed man or woman. Number two, a bigger, victorious man or woman. Three, a better man or woman, saying, Lord, I'm going to be so close, I'm going to hold your hand. That's the bolder, and the final one is better, that you would keep me from evil. I am living in a wicked world. Sin is all around, and I want you to keep me from evil. I want you to make me in Rochford a better man and a better woman this week. I want you to hold my hand and keep me from this evil world. I would like to turn you back to chapter 2 of 1 Chronicles. And in chapter 2, in the long list of names that go along, when it's talking about the family of the scribes, it says that they lived in the city of Jabez. Jabez had made such an impact for God, they decided, we don't ever want to forget his name. So they built a city. They called it Jabez, and the families of the scribes lived there. My challenge, I believe born of the Holy Spirit, is to myself and to you. That this week, whatever's been painful, whatever's hurt, whatever it is that limits and restricts and constrains our lives, let's go for a bigger vision. To be a blessed man or woman, because that's how we'll bless others. To be bigger, victorious believers, winning territory in Jesus' name. Being bolder men and women, when we walk to the market square, when we walk to the street, when you go to your jobs, because you're holding hands with God. And then most of all, that we'll live this week better men and women, because we say, keep us from the evil world in which we're living. So we can have a testimony that one day they won't build a city by your name, but they'll say, that man and that woman, they knew Jesus. They knew Jesus. There's a little chorus. Ruth, would you look it up? It's 382. Jesus, take me as I am. I can't come any other way. I want you to finish with me. You hear the challenge. Just play for me. Have you got it? 382. This is your response. Keep on. So that you're saying to the Lord, bless me. Make me a blessed man or woman. Make me a bigger, victorious believer. Make me bolder, because your hand is on me. And make me better. Jesus, take me as I am. Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Make my flesh life melt away. Make me like a precious stone. crystal clear and finally home. Life of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you. Bow your heads with me. Lord, make us better men and women this week. Life of Jesus shining through, so it'll give glory back to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I chose for us to finish, make me a channel of your peace. It's 456. 456. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring you love. To be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Oh, Master, grant that I may never see so much to be controlled as to console, to be understood as to understand, loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. 'Tis in pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving to all men that we receive, in dying that we're born to eternal life. Do you know how you can bless somebody this week? Give them an invitation and persuade them to come. In a world of chaos, let's take this musical journey to find out the purpose of life is knowing the Lord Jesus. I'm going to be at the door with them, and I want you to take at least one and say, this week, I'm going to bless somebody by just inviting them to a concert in this place to help them find Jesus. Bless them in 1,001 other ways. You can bless a dozen if you want. Hold out your hand towards me for these tickets. Would you do that? Point your hand toward the tickets. Father, put your hand on every one of these tickets and make them an invitation to get to know something about you, your power, your love, and your grace. So these tickets will be a blessing to the community around us, and folk will find, because of the gospel concert, a Savior who makes all the difference. Take your people, take them home safely and in peace, and this week make them to be so blessed and so much better people than they ever were before because of Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen.